Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come again in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask for an anointing upon my lips, that the Holy Spirit would speak through me to this body, to those listening online. That what the Spirit is saying to the church and to those who are in darkness to come out to the light. Father, I can't do this on my own. I need your power flowing through me. Block out any distractions, any hardened hearts that have come in here this morning. Chip away the calluses by the power of your sword. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of this message is Worthy of It All. I think you might have gotten a little theme out of that worship today, huh? This is not coffee, by the way. This preaching and 2 days in a row and singing is a lot on the voice. But Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 13 say this. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. You know, a few months ago, Hurricane Ian impacted Florida. And my mind wandered again as I was putting this message together about those days. I was thinking about those days. And I was thinking about all the people who were in Florida who were watching the news. They were watching and they heard of the storm that was coming. They then saw the storm that was coming. And some did not prepare. For others that were prepared, even still, the impact of the storm was so severe that they lost everything and some even their lives. Which is just a reminder that our life is a vapor, folks. We have no control over tomorrow. But many thought, the storm path is not, it's not going to hit me. So I'm good. I'm good. But then suddenly the storm path pivoted. Remember, it was going to originally go to Tampa. And then all of a sudden, the people in Naples and Fort Myers were decimated. Even those in Central Florida, though not hit with the direct impact of the storm, the outer bands and the storm path cut across Florida. And the storm surge didn't directly impact them, but it was the residual fact of the rain bands that turned into extreme flooding and decimated their homes as well. In Luke 12, Jesus spoke. It says, Then he also said to the multitudes, Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, A shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, Hey, there'll be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? See, Jesus scolded the Jews for their ability to discern weather patterns, but not the signs telling them that their Messiah was there in their midst, standing before them. And I've said this before, but is it possible that Jesus is speaking the same things today regarding Christians and the pastors who remain blind to the numerous signs and prophetic indicators of the last days that are abounding around us? I'm sure he would. There are so many that have their heads in the sand that refuse to acknowledge all that's converging around this world is biblical. That particular storm for our day, just as people watched Ian at his brewing, is found in Revelation 6, 1 through 8. The dark, threatening clouds are out on the horizon, point to the nearness of time when the four riders will burst out of their stalls and gallop across the earth. We see deception of the last 3 years has brought us. With the truth packaged with lies or being buried, whether it's a pandemic, corruption, scandals, we see lawlessness everywhere. We see the love of many waxing cold. We hear the drums of war pounding. We see inflation rearing its ugly head and eventually leading to a day's wage for a loaf of bread, folks. There's people impacted directly. I'm in finance. We see it. Right, Kate? We see it. We clearly see this time approaching on the radar. It's not stealth. We're those who have eyes to see. We're to be watchmen, and we're children of the light. We're not in darkness, that those days will overcome us, folks. Hallelujah. We are to warn and blow that trumpet. However, we can get caught up in the sensational news, folks. We need to examine ourselves and our heart to make sure that, you know, we're not caught in the sensational. We're not looking for that next big announcement and so caught up in the times and the news threads that we lose our focus on Him. Because what happens is when you start looking at the other things, you lose your peace. And the problem is because you're not abiding in Him. The swirl of uncontrollable events and the rising storm. Life is hard, folks. And storms of life come for all of us, individually. And each of us can experience these storms, and some can be anticipated, and others can take us completely by surprise. But these storms come into your life, and they reveal your trust factor. Whom are you trusting in? Whom? Whom are you abiding in? Because our focus can easily shift during these times when those trials come, when those storms come. You know, you might find yourself angry. You might find yourself focused on your circumstances. You might actually be wanting vengeance upon someone else. Remember, vengeance is mine, thus says the Lord. It's His. So you have to give that to Him too. You give it all. You give Him all. But when you're in the trial, when you're in the path of the storm, you need to come to the reality and admit you can't do it on your own. It's not your strength that's going to carry you through, folks. You see, we have this example of the Lord in our life. You know, the cross was hard. It was not easy. But there was a joy set before Him beyond the cross. Amen. It was before Him, but there was pain in the midst. There was suffering to get to that joy. Yeah, that's right. And as Christians, we're not exempt from that. That's right. If anybody tells you that, it's a lie. Every heartache or disappointment faced by every person needs to understand that the Lord is there to help them win and go through the battles. And His will can sometimes be hard, you know, staying and abiding there when it's so easy to want to kind of drift and say, you know what, I'm going to take control of these things and these events. I want them back. But He's the promise keeper, and He doesn't leave us behind. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 146, this is the reminder of this, that we keep praising the Lord. We keep praising the Lord. He said in Psalm 146, he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord." In good or bad, we're praising Him, right? "I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." Every day is a gift of God, and I get to sing the praises of Him. That's where our focus needs to be, that praise, as Hebrews talks about. It's the fruit of our lips. That's what we just did today. Could you feel your spirit rising? If you came in heavy, that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, folks. While I have breath in my lungs, I will praise the Lord. That's a sign of steadfastness, folks. And it's a way that we can bear fruit because we're abiding in Him. You can't do it on your own. He said you can't. Anyone that's not bearing fruit, boom, without me, you will do nothing. Until our last breath, we must praise the Lord. It's not easy. That's why you have to remind yourself daily. From the rising of the sun He said, the enemy of our soul wants nothing more than to distract you and I. I find myself, even as I get up lately, the first thing I'm saying is, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not perfect. None of us are. Only He. But sing with thanksgiving on your lips. Start your day the right way. Because He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's there in the morning, He's there during the day, and He's there when you put your head on the pillow. He's a good father. The psalmist continues, he says, trust. He's telling, you need to trust our Lord in all things. He says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man. And that's a lowercase s, by the way. Nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Isaiah references the day of the Lord that is coming, and that all that will be shaken can be shaken. In Isaiah 2:22, it says, do not put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath. What good are they? You see, God is eternal. And guess what? His plans are eternal. And His ways are not our ways, and all the plans of man can be made, all the good intentions, all the steps directed, but in the end, it all goes away when that man dies. The rich man in Luke 16 had plans. I'm going to build bigger barns. I will make them bigger. What did he say? Fool. Fool. Your life is ended now. It doesn't mean we're not a good steward over what God has given us. But you better let go of the things so that you hold so tightly, especially in the days in which we live, because it can change on a dime. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our understanding, acknowledging Him in all our ways, and He directs our pathway. He is a blessed hope for us in an eternal future. We have to be that blessed man or woman that's like the Psalm in 1. We're by the rivers of water with deep roots. And guess what? When the heat of the day comes, your leaves don't wither. That's because the source is the Holy Spirit feeding those roots. It's not a shallow surface that just withers away and the roots dry up. So abiding and fully confident because our Lord is faithful. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in this Lord is God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. We're talking about the creator of heaven and earth. Do you think your problems or trials are too big for him? I think we can obviously think that sometimes, like, you know, this one's too big for you, God, so I'm going to take care of it, right? He's faithful, folks. Think about the psalmist, the God of Jacob, right? What did Jacob do? He clung to the Lord. He clung to the Lord. You know, I'm not letting you go until you bless me, Lord. I'm going to cling to you, and the blessing will be for his glory, and it'll be for his kingdom. Our hope alone is in the Lord, the creator of all, because of our hope and faith is in him alone. When we are weak, he is strong, and he executes justice for the oppressed. We're coming fastly to a time where Christians are going to be persecuted in this country. It's starting already. And our God is the righteous judge, and he will make things all right. All will be corrected and rectified by him. He gives food to the hungry. There could be a time when you're getting hungry. Seek the kingdom of the first. He cares for the sparrows. He's the source. He fed Israel in the wilderness with manna from heaven, folks. We also should be wise, knowing the times in which we live, that we plan ahead, just as Joseph did. You don't put your trust in that you've put aside. Your source is still the Lord, but we should plan accordingly. Amen? Right. He gives freedom to the prisoners. We were in bondage, folks. The wages of sin is death, is it not? Right. But the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The psalmist continues, your eyes were opened, just like the blind man, where the Lord took the mud and he rubbed it on his eyes, and suddenly the scales came down. And you came face to face with the reality of a living God. And you realize that the God of this age has blinded so many. And you've been set free. And now you need to tell others that same truth that has set you free. The Lord raises those who are bowed down, the humble, right? Remember we talked about the wheat and the chaff? The chaff stands straight up, the wheat bow, the wheat blow, because they've bowed in this life. We'll bow before him and then we'll be able to stand before him, dressed in his righteousness alone. It's his grace that saved us. And he loves the righteous. Blessed are the righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's our access, folks. That's ours is the kingdom of heaven. Not the kingdom of this world. It's the kingdom of heaven. And he watches over us while we're here. We're citizens of heaven, which makes us what? Pilgrims here, strangers here. The Lord watches over the strangers. Peter called us, but hey, I beg you as sojourners, as pilgrims, your identity is not of this world. It's out of this world. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. He will wipe away every tear and sorrow, folks. Those who have no father currently have a heavenly father who loves them. God cares for them. Those who don't have a husband, the bridegroom is there. All the pain that you feel in this life will be made right by the Lord. Hold on. Because he's going to turn the way of the wicked upside down. Their plans, they can plan all they want. He's going to devour them with their fire. Actually, in Psalm 21, he says, they devised a plot which they are not able to perform. They're behind closed doors making plans and sowing their webs. And they devise a plot and they're like, this is a good plan. We're gonna defy God. And he's laughing at them in heaven, as the Psalm 2 says. Let's just build this ziggurat up to the heaven. We could be as God, right? Pride. Actually, he says, they devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore, you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength, and we will sing and praise your power. The wicked man has plans, but the bottom line is trusting in the Lord and praising him forevermore. We praise him. When things seem out of control, you know who is in control. He is working all things together for his good and for his purpose and for his plans. So 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This tent, there's a treasure inside. It's more precious than gold. That the excellence of the power of may be of God and not of us. It's his power. That's what he sent in Acts 2, and we have access to it. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body and the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. The life of Jesus manifested in our body. Are you manifesting that? Are you letting the light shine? For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Death is working on the flesh, but there's a life in you, a life source. And since we have the same spirit of faith, we're in one accord. According to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. What? For from you are all things, right? Grace having spread through the many, that many caused thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, what? We do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's a promise we have, to be renewed day by day. And we do that by renewing our mind with his word. And he says, for our light affliction. It's light affliction. Because guess what? To be absent from this body is what? To be present with the Lord. It's just a temporary goodbye when we say goodbye to a brother and sister in Christ. What a day that's going to be, the reunion. Woo! It's going to be awesome. It says here, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal! Because our God and King will reign forever. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. He's worthy of it all. Because he's worthy of it all, you have great worth to him. It can be easy to have the world tell you your worth, and you just accept it. Nay, nay, because it vacillates with the wind. It's what have you done for me lately? But it's what he's done, and that's why I have great worth to him. You're precious in the eyes of the Savior, folks. He wants you. That's what he's saying. Somehow he wants you. Somehow he wants me. The King of Heaven wants me. That should drive you vertical. When I'm in these moments and I'm thinking, man, he's worthy of it all. My mind just drifts that Revelation 5, and my mind gazes on that throne room and what's going on. And I ponder on that. He redeemed you and I by dying on the cross, and because he's worthy, you have great worth to him. He's the lamb that was slain. He's the lion of Judah that's going to take the scroll and his inheritance, his precious bride, who's going to be refined, free of all her guilt, free of all her shame, known by her true name, which he's given you. Hallelujah. We endure pain and trials now because of him. Without him, there's no peace. None. And I think of the throne room, and I know God is still ruling and reigning, regardless of the darkness that we see. Regardless of what man does to you, he's still ruling and reigning. He's sovereign king, and he's in control of all things. And I ponder on that. I'm like, has the scroll been handed off yet or not? You know, is it getting opened? You know, my mind goes there. Who's worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals? When in Revelation 5, John's sitting there, and they're saying, like, well, no one initially, not any angels. There's no righteous prophets, the 24 elders. There's none there worthy. Not Moses, not Elijah, none of them. There's no one qualified to open the book of earth and heaven on earth, because man vacated his authority and dominion in the garden. And as a result, Satan took that deed. He took the deed. He's the god of this world. He has all the kingdoms of this world. Remember how he tempted Jesus with those? Oh, yeah. These are mine to give if you just bow down and worship me. Mm-mm. And so John was weeping. He's like, what's going to happen? No, if no one's open, like, are we just doomed? But one of the others said, do not weep. Behold, gaze. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals. Dominion will be restored by the second Adam, the perfect man. Payment was made to that which was lost. Hallelujah. It required the shedding of innocent blood, the sacrificial lamb, who John saw the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. David was just a foreshadow of what was to come. He's prevailed. He's overcome this world. And he, because of his redemptive act, he has all authority to open the scroll and to reveal the prophecies of that scroll. And he's going to unleash the judgments that come with it at the appointed time that God has determined. Just as the first coming at the appointed time. There's an appointed time. Christ will exercise his authority and his right that he gained at the cross to vanquish the evil one and the kingdom of darkness forever. And as we shift our mind and we keep our mind in that throne room, it says, I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne, the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb that had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, where the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. The lamb is in the midst of the throne. The four living creatures in the midst of the elders stood the lamb. John doesn't see the lion yet. He sees the lamb. He first came as the lamb to purchase redemption for mankind. When he comes forth as a lion, it's in righteous judgment. This one last reminder that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. As we see that church age get closer and closer to ending, folks, for 2,000 years, the gospel's been spread out. And that time of grace is going to come to an end. But the Lamb wasn't seated any longer. He's standing. He's standing. It says, then he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Having left the right side of the Father's throne, Christ stands in the midst of the throne and he takes the scroll right out of the hand of the Father. Christ, the one who created all things by the word of his mouth, he's the word, all things are now in motion to restore all that which was lost. The lamb becomes the lion. As Christ moves, the world lost in darkness slumbers asleep and is unaware of the thief approaching in the night. And again, as he stated before, Christ is now taking the scroll and he's going to unleash judgment. It is going to be righteous judgment. In this single act of him taking the scroll, it's the crucial act outside of the cross. He's going to restore that which of all creation has been groaning. For 6,000 years, groaning. Christ to usher in the kingdom. To restore order to the cosmos. Daniel 7:14 says, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. He's going to reign forevermore. Worthy is the Lamb. And as he does that, the response is just complete utter worship in the throne room. They all fall down. The four living creatures, the 24 elders, the harps, the golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints, it's complete worship and adoration. And they sing a new song. You're worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So this new song is to proclaim Jesus' worthiness. He's holding his hands to the title deed of the earth. And all the judgment that has been piling up, that cup of indignation, the cup of wrath that is filling to the brim, will be unleashed. He was slain, and it says he's redeemed us. In the Greek is agorazo, which means purchased. Purchased. You have been purchased. You were on the auction block of sin. It's like Hosea and Gomer. Gomer had to be purchased back by her bride. Jesus purchased you and I. He's redeemed us. And he's made us kings and priests. We have a royal line now because of him. We're delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we become ambassadors for him. Ambassadors for him. Proclaiming the praises of him who called us into marvelous light. How awesome. How awesome to know you're an ambassador. A representative of an eternal kingdom that shall have no end. Presidents have 4 years. Kings of this world have just their lifespan. Not our king. Not our king. And it says, we shall reign on the earth. We're going to reign on the earth with him. The kingdom's coming, folks. And it's coming soon. In the throne room, it says, then I looked, as John says this, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. We're talking about an innumerable amount, more than what was saw on the hill, on the mountaintop with Elisha and his servant. And they're all taking particular interest as to what's going on as they have been eagerly awaiting this moment. Listen, these angels were there when Satan rebelled. They were there when the third of the heavenly host left heaven. They were there. They've been fighting in spiritual dimensions since that time. They are just as much interested in this as you and I. Because they know what's going to happen. As the scroll is opened, that means Satan is going to be conquered. And he's going to be put in the lake of fire forever. And so they say with a quiet voice, worthy is the Lamb. No. Megas, loud! Yeah. Loud! Like the walls of Jericho coming down, a shout. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing. It's a megas. He's worthy. It's power. It's dunamis. It's strength. It's riches. It's wealth. It's possessions. It's abundance. His wisdom is supreme intelligence. No one can outthink him. They can't outmaneuver him. He's got supreme intelligence and strength. An honor. It's a reverential honor of him. And glory, which is doxa. It's magnificence. It's majesty. It's preeminence. And blessing, adoration, praise comes out our lips. We sing that song, Revelation, I adore you. I adore you. It says in every creature. Every creature which is in heaven and earth and under the earth and such as the sea and all that are in them say blessing, honor, glory, and power be to him who sits on the throne, that's God, and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And the four living creatures say what? At the end here, amen, truly, truly. Amen. True. It's true. It's true. He's faithful and true. He's the Alpha and Omega. What a powerful scene of complete worship. This is just a foretaste what happens here on Sunday mornings, folks. It's going to be awesome. You think like at a concert, all these voices singing out a song that they know so well. We're going to be singing that new song. Whew. Gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. To know what he did for us and to be fully persuaded is the key. And confident with holy boldness to share the truth in this time. All of heaven here is in one accord, just as we should be. We should be all in one accord. There's no separate agendas. One accord. Complete and utter worship, the angel armies surround the Lion Judah, proclaiming his worthiness. Listen, there's a closing here. The times we're living in are tough. They're going to get tough, more tough. They're going to intensify. No matter how hard it looks, you keep pressing forward. Yeah. He will give you the strength to keep going. Don't look back. You keep moving forward. The enemy's going to keep talking to you. He's going to keep whispering to you. You don't go back. You keep moving forward. Let's keep praising him. Praise him in the storm. Keep trusting him. And we will be blessed as we know whom our blessed hope is in. And the confidence in the one who's worthy of it all. And I hold to the promise at the end of Revelation 22. It says, behold, I am coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. Without delay. Without delay. He's going to come. He's going to take his bride away. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb happens. What a party that's going to be. What a party that's going to be. But you can't get there on your own. You can't dress yourself in your own rags to get to that party. You need Jesus' righteousness. And so if you don't have that, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you don't get access to the kingdom of heaven. You get weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's why today is the day of salvation, that you make a choice. You admit you're a sinner. You need a Savior. You put your faith and trust in the Lord, and you understand that he died on the cross for you. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. But he rose again on the third day. And he's coming back again. And you call upon him, and you say, Lord, save me. I surrender my life to you. I'm yours. I'm your servant. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Use me. Moving forward. And at that moment, you will become a new creation in him. A metamorphosis will happen, and your name will be reserved in heaven. A disciple of King Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, and I thank you for the power of your word. It speaks to us, Lord, that we would praise you and trust you completely, Lord. And as our mind gazes to you in the throne room, Lord, that you are worthy of it all. Regardless of the circumstances that come what may this week, Lord, that our minds stay there, that it just stay focused on you. That you would give us the power this week and the opportunity to share the truth that has set us free to someone who's lost, to snatch a brand from the fire. That another name would be written down. Use us, Lord. This remnant church. Use us, Lord. As we cling faithfully to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.